And we're live. Good morning.
Good afternoon. Good evening and good night. My name,
that was it, huh?
Yes. My name is Michelle Maross, and you are?
Brian Swanson.
We are Denim and Pearls. We are?
Business Casual.
With Pearls of Wisdom
from the porch. Anyhow, it is an interesting day. We've had a busy couple weeks, I'm telling you.
It has been incredibly busy, and I'm here trying to share our post because once we go live, then I can share.
Oh, is that how that works now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they made different changes to things. So anyhow, what are we talking about today?
Promises, promises.
Okay.
Knew you'd never keep.
Yes.
All of your promises. So promises, promises.
I always have to come up with a song that you can sing.
Yes, I like that. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I do that just for you.
So man. Promises, promises. The promises we keep, we've made with ourselves, with friends, with colleagues, with our future selves, whatever it is, or your business.
Well, you know what? I Googled it. Promises, promises. And it's really interesting. Not only is it the song that we chose, but it is also kind of a sarcastic little term. Did you know that?
Yeah, promises, promises.
Promises, promises. In other words, said you would.
I don't expect you to.
Yeah, don't ever expect. And I think that it works kind of both ways, honestly.
What do you mean?
I think it can be the sarcasm, but it can also be the fact that we need to emphasize that we need to keep our promises.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, because the last thing you want is someone to say promises, promises, thinking that, yeah, you're not going to do it. So you're going to kind of probably follow through on it. But promises to yourself, I think, are probably the bigger things for me.
You think so?
For me.
I think keeping our promises is a big thing. Our own promises. You know, there's many things that we do in life that we go, yeah, we'll take care of that. I mean, let's talk about the spouse, of course. Yes, I'll clean the garage.
Oh, there you are. We've been doing it.
Well, I've been working on other things. I haven't actually been working on the garage. However, like you always say, give a mouse a cookie. I start with one and I got to work my way, you know, up to the bigger things. So the promises are starting to be kept on that one. However, you know, that's one of those things where we always promise our spouse that we'll do something, or our significant others, and we'll promise them that we'll do something. We'll get the car washed tomorrow. Well, 3 days later, we still haven't washed the car.
Which is why promises are really important to have due dates to them, because Brian pulls that to the extent, I promise I'll put in the yard. That was 20 years ago.
No, it was 14. Okay. It took me 14 years to get to the yard.
I'll clean out the basement. The kids had to move out for him to finish that.
One did.
Yeah. So you see, that's the whole thing, is promises that you keep to yourself are more important to me. So you can make promises to people, but without the deadline, you don't know if the promise has been kept or not. So like, let's say if your spouse, Julie, said, you promised me you would do it. I plan to in 14 years, you know, and there's like this inside voice that says eventually.
Eventually. But eventually is always the key.
The promise that, like, I say self-promises, it's because, let's say, I promise I'm going to take care of myself, my physical being, as much as possible. Well, I do that. Do I break my promise every once in a while? Yes, but I get right back on the wagon because that is my promise to
myself.
Well,
I don't think we always intend to break them.
No, life gets in the way.
Yeah, life gets in the way. Things happen and you don't get to them, or whatever the excuse is.
Well, and that's why it's important to understand yourself and understand that, you know, when someone doesn't keep their promise, let's go that way, don't worry about it.
Right.
You cannot control, I mean, but my quote from Byron Katie, there's three types of business: my business, the other person's business, and God's business.
And nobody's business.
And if somebody says, I promise to do this, and they don't, instead of getting frustrated and upset about it, okay, well, then what am I going to do if they don't do this promise? Well, I'll just do X, Y, Z. I was going to do A, B, C, but now I'll just do X, Y, Z. Have another plan. I know, like, say, I've lent money to people in my past. I never expected them to ever pay me back. But, you know, if 14 years later they come up and hand me a check, I'll do, well, thank you.
Well, I think that was one of those things we talked about, you know, quite a while back, was, I just totally lost my train of thought. Wow.
About lending money to people.
Lending money, yeah. I mean, you don't lend money unless
you don't
expect it back.
Yes. So it's just a bonus.
Yeah, it is. However, there are certain things too. I mean, especially when we start talking about our businesses, keeping promises to your client or to your clients, making sure that if you, I don't know how to explain it because there's so many different directions. You promise your clients that you're going to provide something. And if you don't provide something, well, what does that do to your reputation? You know, we talk about client services, but we don't talk about reputation and promises. Mm-hmm. You know, but it all plays a part of it, especially that, you know, if I'm going to give you something, I want something in return.
Well,
it's almost contractual.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
A moral contract.
In business, it's a contract. It's an agreement.
Right. And even if it's a handshake, there's still a moral agreement that is attached to that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've lost it over the years with some of the way things are turning around in our society and et cetera, we've lost it, but I don't think we could ever lose it all completely.
No, because it's part of the human instinct. Burn me once, shame on you, me. What is that? Shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. I can't remember, but it's basically that. We do a lot of verbal agreements. We do a lot of handshakes, and that's an integrity thing for you. It's for you.
Integrity, that's the word I was looking for.
It's for you. If you don't follow through, it's you. And it's important to follow through on things, especially on contracts. If they're written, you really need to follow through. But
well, that can get you in legal jeopardy, but we do a lot of stuff friend to friend.
Yes.
And that can really destroy friendships. It can just ruin them because you didn't live up to your promises. And maybe that promises is, you know, money. Maybe it's
a referral.
Oh my gosh, we were talking about that the other day. Referrals are crazy because it all comes back to our own reputation. Mm-hmm. If I refer somebody to some, you know, refer someone to somebody, I expect that person that I refer to take care of that person. I didn't say that all right, but I think y'all get my point.
Yes. Basically, I'm passing my integrity, my reputation onto the other person that I referred. And so if you find out later that they're not following through, it's like, well, heck, I need to detach because my name is at stake and I worked hard to keep my name the way it is.
You know, when you've got your own integrity, you expect everybody associated with you will keep their integrity.
Exactly.
Or their promises.
So promises. Verbal, handshake, written, keep them. And if you don't keep them in the timely manner you expected to keep them, instead of acting like it didn't happen.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Probably a good idea to just say, hey, you know what? I screwed up. Or you know what? Something got in the way.
Right.
People understand life gets in the way.
Yes.
So speak, talk, communicate.
Communication is the key to a great relationship.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, yeah, this happened. So, you know, I'm just going to avoid them for a little bit because I'm pretty sure they're mad at me. Well, that you're ignoring them, I'm pretty sure now they're mad at you.
It doesn't make it go away. I mean, there are instances. I've done this over the years. I've done services for people over the years. And then the next thing you know, you've got to ask for the check or you've got to do this. You got to do that. You got to follow up and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, to me, that integrity says that individual that I'm asking for it from, the person I'm asking the check from, should automatically go, oh, you're done tonight. Here's your check. It shouldn't be a question mark of, I'm going to go over to my other business over here and ignore you.
Yeah.
So, or whatever the case may be. Well, I mean, it's tons of things.
But that's the whole thing. It's talk. Mm-hmm. Communication is key. There are so many things that have happened. I mean, like in my business as a speaker, where I'm supposed to get paid before I ever step onto a stage.
Mm-hmm.
First. And most events do, oh, we're kind of going crazy right now. We can't pay you until later. I'm leaving in the morning. Oh, well, we'll get you before you leave in the morning. And I say, well, then leave it at the front desk with my name on it. And then I get to the front desk at 6 a.m. and it's not there.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I leave or do I call and wake them up?
Do I stay or do I go?
Do I stay or should I go? But I've already performed the service. And so it puts me in an awkward situation. Do I have to be the bad cop, basically, and say, I can't leave without my money. I already gave you what I did. Now you have to pay me.
Well,
I don't like playing back.
I'm sure there's people out there that are going, well, Did you get a contract? Did you get the money up front? Did you get a down? There's all of this stuff that comes into play. And I think we all answer that question with the fact that it can be just a handshake and an integrity thing and a promise thing, promises, you know, that shouldn't make this a complicated situation.
But to say, if we're working,
and sometimes
and we trust each other, should keep the trust.
Business owner to business owner, that's just, it's such a tight thing that, I don't know, it's kind of like being part of a private club, if you will.
you know? I've had people say, well, that's your problem, you didn't get a contract. I've had someone say that to me, and I went, I didn't do a contract because I trusted you. Don't worry, I'll never trust you again.
Exactly.
You know, and
but then we've shot ourselves in the foot in some cases. You know, in many cases, we've shot ourselves in the foot by not doing that. But sometimes you believe in the person that you're working with, and you're like, got it, no problem. Yeah, and then there's a problem.
Yeah, and so my thought is, you got to talk to them.
Lawyer on retainer, I guess.
Can't say that the name of the thing I've got, but the thing is, the whole thing about it is keep promises,
please
be handshake, verbal or written, keep them. And if there's a written one and you're failing or the other person's failing, instead of attacking or talking around their back, go straight up to them and say, this is happening, this is what I'm thinking, this is what it appears to be, what's going on here, and talk. Because what you don't know, you don't know. So ask. The thing is with contracts, it could be something as you saw a line that stuck out of your head that was a big part of the contract for you. And the other person's thinking, oh, I did A, B, C, D and dropped E on accident. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, E didn't happen. Oh, shoot. I am so sorry. I'll get on that. And that's why it's important to have some sort of contract.
You know, and there are people out there, and I just had a notion of somebody else or something, another situation where somebody does trust you wholeheartedly, or at least they say you do, and then they go back behind your back and verify what you've said. That's terrible. I'm like, really?
They double check
or they check with a better source, but yet their comment to you is, I trust you wholeheartedly.
No, then
that's reneging on everything on it too. I mean, it just kind of, you know, you made your promise to me that you trust me. And then all of a sudden you've got a thing going, well, you're wrong. You don't know all the circumstances. So you can't just Google the fact that I'm wrong.
Well, as one of our watchers just said, a contract helps plan for what we never expect.
Exactly.
And so when you're looking at
it, we did that though, the contracts would be this thick.
Yes.
Trying to make sure that we covered every situation possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the human mind has ways of turning things.
Well, I'm just thinking with that New York Times experience that I do with Ken, with his publishing company.
Right.
New York, things change on the dime. I mean, another convention will come in and they'll bump you from the room. I mean, all these crazy things happen. And it's like, we have a contract, we have an agenda, but be prepared for things that change because we can't control the masses when we're a small amount of the income that's coming into whatever location we're going to. They do what? There's 20 of you? Well, there's 300 of them. You're gone. Bye. You're like, oh, we're going to have breakfast at this place. Great. Yeah, we've got some UN delegates. They took all the tables.
Well, shucks. Some people have priority, I guess, in life.
No, they just got there before us and they took the whole room. And it's like, okay, well, find something that, well, but we were going to eat there. No, we're not. You can wait here for 4 hours, but I think there's a lot of places we can eat, you know, that kind of thing. Have to contingency plans.
Well, there's always a plan B on everything, I think. You know, it's just like putting together a show when I do things. And I've got to have a plan. If I don't have a backup microphone, I've got, you know, there's always a contingency
plan. Oh, Sally says hi.
Yeah, I saw Sally. We love Sally. We don't plan to end our agreement, but if we do, this is how it will go. Exactly.
Yeah.
It is exactly.
You got to give them an out, an exit clause.
Yeah.
If this is not working in, know, the next 60 days, you have 30-day notice to let me know or something like that. Give me 30-day notice so I can fill that blank. It's so.
Well, what throws me is, I mean, if you go to a major department store and you go in and you buy something, you don't say, oh, shoot, I don't have the money right now, but I'll get to you next week.
And you're not leaving with the product.
You're not leaving with the product. I mean, it's that simple. And then when it comes to services, services are the same way. I mean, you don't call the carpet cleaner to come into your house, clean your whole house and go, oh, sorry, I just got a phone call. I had to take X amount of dollars out of my account. I can't pay you today. You're going to come up with a way to do it.
Yeah, I had a friend, it was a while back, who was also a speaker. And he got on stage and did his thing. He didn't have a check beforehand. And when he got off, no joke, the organizer said, you did not live up to what we expected you to do. So instead of paying...
That's pretty subjective, isn't it?
They lowered his price.
They lowered
what they paid him. And I can't even remember who it was, but I remember him doing, what? I mean, how did that come? I mean, how are you doing that? I agreed to come all the way out here. Yeah, we got this, we got that, but you didn't fit the hype that came with you. And I looked at him and he looked at me as, and this is why we do contracts.
That's like going to a movie, paying for it, watching the entire movie, walking out, and I didn't like it. I want my money back.
Agree. What? I agree, Sally. Dismissing a group that made prior reservations. Yes, I agree. But they've done it to us.
Right.
It's just they had to pull into another room. We're sorry. You can squeeze in this corner right here where no one can get back out. You're kind of I mean, it was like, okay, so they did give us a space, but there's no way we would have been able to fit in there comfortably. I mean, you think Brian and I are sitting apart. We're actually almost touching shoulders. We're that close.
We are.
And the restaurant, they were packing like 20 of us in a space for 10. And it was like, we can't even eat. I mean, we can't even lift our arms. No, we're out.
There's an old saying for that, but I won't say
it. And we haven't come back. Anyways, promises, promises.
10 pounds of feathers in a 5-pound bag. How's that?
Don't get it.
You never heard that saying? It's I replaced the
word feathers. You just shove them all in?
Yeah.
So anyways, the thing is, promises to yourself are very important. I mean, nothing will let you down and make you feel more down on yourself if you do not hold up promises to yourself. If you cannot hold a promise to yourself, then who else can you do a promise for?
I'm so I so want to take this into the political realm.
No.
All the promises that are made throughout the centuries from the politicians, I'm going to do this. And then, yeah, it never happens.
Oh, you can do it that way.
That's all I'm talking about. Because it's just kind of one of those things that...
Yeah, promises to get yourself what you want. And then when you get what you want, yeah, forget it.
Promises until they get into... that. That's what I find out interesting about any presidential candidate. It doesn't matter who it is. They make a promise on the campaign trail. Then they get into office and they realize...
They can't
actually live up to the promise. Mm-hmm. You know, no, that's not always the case. But, I mean, it's still that... I promise that I'm going to whatever, lower your gas prices to a penny.
Systematically, there's no way. I mean, there's.
Then I get in the office and I go, oh.
There are so many candidates that promise things. And I remember looking at them doing, you can't do that. You don't even have the power to do that. Why are you saying that? But for those who don't understand how government works, oh my gosh, that's going to be great. It's like, it's not in their power to do that. They can't do that. They have an entire committee they're going to have to convince to say yes. And mm-hmm. as long as it's not in their power, their party line, more than likely, it's not going to happen.
Well, it just tells me they don't understand economics.
Which scares me because they're running for office. Okay, so we need to get out of the political thing.
Yeah, but it's so front and center these days. How can you avoid the subject? I mean, we're not getting into details and individuals, but how do
Sally,
you...
Sally, this company has been in business for generations. You're an icon in the city.
Well, that's another thing, too. I'm not talking about that company because I know nothing about that situation, but there are certain things that get dropped because of reputation. Oh, you've been in business this long? Okay, we understand.
Really?
You've never heard that?
Well, that's what happens with this restaurant.
you know, it's like, we don't need you. Oh, that was the one. What was the one? This one?
The big one?
Yeah. But we don't need you. And if we lose one customer,
Oh, well,
you know, I've got them lining out the door and you're just one person that I didn't let in the door tonight to the club, you know, or your name's not on the list. We don't need you. It happens all the time.
I know. And they lose a lot of business that way. It's not our problem. It's their problem.
Yeah, but they don't lose business because everybody else is still coming because they don't know about your situation.
They just don't have repeat business. Yes. See, the thing is nowadays you have to be careful with that kind of thing, that mentality that, I'll have four more walk in the door for when you walk out. Social media has destroyed that mentality process because someone can blow it up. And half the time nowadays, people have cameras on them or they're recording from the side. You have no clue who heard you say, I'm sorry, you're not important.
Which is, you know, I used to be afraid of cameras. I didn't like getting like we are doing right now, because to me, it's like permanent evidence that I said something that I shouldn't have said. But I've gotten used to that over the years. But over the last, I don't know what, two decades or whatever, we do have cell phones and you don't know who's watching you.
Oh, I have a friend who walks around and he literally has a camera on his glasses.
On his glasses.
And it's so small that it looks like it looks like a logo of some sort. So it looks like part of the glasses. It's a camera. He records everything around him. Everything. It's insane.
It's you can call it a defiance of privacy. However, if you're in public, public's, you know, it's open game.
It's scary, isn't it?
It's all that. I mean, just what. You can't even walk down your street, your neighborhood street anymore. Can you imagine that when we were kids and we were playing in the street and there were cameras in every house, doorbell cameras and stuff like that? Can you imagine the trouble we would have gotten?
I say we wouldn't have been making those ramps in the middle of the street that we used to do. Yes, MK, you're correct. One bad review and it will demolish years of work.
Yeah, and it's crazy too. And especially if you go on to some of these review sites that are really, really famous and you go one star, service was great, but I didn't like the color of the waitress's hair. And you give it a one star. You know what that does to a business?
Well, I have.
Even though that statement is.
So like one of my books, I had this lady call me and tell me how much she absolutely loved my book. And I said, oh, please do a review. Well, she wasn't very technically savvy. So she went on and did a review and didn't realize she had to click the stars on Amazon.
Oh.
And so there's like a half star or something. But the review is glowing. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to fix this. Don't fix it. And she's, but I love your book. I love everything about your book. I do. Don't fix it. It's just, but I ruined the rating. I said, actually, you make me more reliable. It makes me look more credible. She says, how's that? I said, because when you see straight five stars on everything, you think that's their mom, their dad, their sister, their brother, their best friend.
Everybody you hired.
And then this way, with the one star, people do, whoa, I wonder what's bad about it. And they go to the one star and freaking loves it. They just didn't know how to use the star button.
It's a little reverse psychology going on down there.
I said, that's okay. You just leave it. And I'm like, she goes, oh, thank you so much for thinking that. I'm like, you have to always see the good in that because there is some, what is that? The not all bad, all bad is good. No, not all bad news is
not bad. Not all bad press is
press is press.
Press is press. Yes.
And so what her one star did was jump my ratings because people started reading my book to find out why she didn't like it until they read the review and found out, oh, heck, she does like it. Mm-hmm. And so then I've also
have to remember that strategy. I wonder if that's.
And then I also have another. I think on one of my other books, I have like a one star review, and it was because they found misspellings in my book. And so I laugh because, of course, there's misspellings
just,
in the book.
Just read anything today. You know that?
Yeah.
Read a review, especially online. Oh, my gosh. Especially when you go into these reviews of, or not reviews, but these press releases of, let's just say, a hurricane or something like that. Somebody goes in there and they write it so fast and they think that whatever system they did double checked everything. But then when you read it, it's like, do you know how to write?
Oh, no. The funniest thing is when you watch late night TV and you have it on auto caption or something. That's funny.
Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. But anyways, promises, promises. Make sure you keep your own promises to yourself. And remember, when you promise something to anyone, be it written, handshakes, or in contract, follow through. And if you're not going to follow through in a timely manner, and I'm talking, if you say I'm going to do this in 6 months and it's month six and you know you're not going to make it, you better tell them at month four.
Well, what is that thing we have in January? We always do New Year's resolutions. Is that a promise to yourself? Yes. Have you kept your promise to yourself?
If you do New Year's resolutions.
There's a lot of people who don't. I mean, I think it's just another day.
It's another day to me.
Now, sometimes it's a stepping point to make a change. I will agree with that.
Well, and some people use New Year's resolutions. Honestly, they do it together because they need to know other people are seeking goals, and it helps motivate them. We don't need that kind of motivation. Honestly, it kind of deters me. If I have to wait till January 1st to make a promise to myself, I will never do it. So when I have something I want to do, I do it now.
Right. And I'm the same way when it comes to donations. Why wait until the holidays to donate?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Because people need whatever you're donating, food, clothes, whatever. They need it throughout the year. So why wait until the holidays? It drives me crazy.
Well, my thing is, during the holidays, we're all kind of strapped. We're all strapped during the holidays. Mm-hmm. And they bounced right next to each other, right? Halloween now is expensive as all get out. But Halloween for America, Thanksgiving Day for America, and then Christmas and New Year's, there's four big holidays for us that hit all in a row. And then Valentine's Day in February. So there's a lot of money happening in that time period. So give throughout the rest of the year when you're not strapped.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like having all your house payment, car payment, and all your other payments on the first of the month. Why not put them on the 15th?
Or
spread them between the two.
Yes.
Why do them all on the same day? Because it really does. It really hits, economically speaking, it really hits us hard when all of our contracts that we do when we buy a car, we buy a house.
Always the first.
It's always the first. Well, you don't have to do it on the first. Change it to the 20th, mm-hmm. You know, or whatever fits your paycheck.
Yeah. Schedule. And it's funny. It's because it's the biggest bills that come out on the first, mortgage, the car, right. The insurance, the big ones come out on the first. It's like, you need to stagger those. And so back when you couldn't choose, what I used to do is I would prepay 1 month ahead so that I could be, then I shifted it to the middle of the months. So I was always a little bit ahead. So it never messed with me. I realized it kind of helped.
This has been an easy topic.
Yeah,
promises. I think you know what I think it is. What? I think it's our standards. When we have a standard of we want people to live up to their promises, and if it's part of our moral code, it's easy to talk about.
Well, think about Brian and I on Denim and Pearls. We say we come on at noon Mountain Standard Time on Fridays. If we don't show up at noon, you know we're going to show up around that time, because our promise to our audience is we will be on Friday noonish. And so depending on if we're traveling or something else, we will do as soon as between breaks. Like last week we were at Becoming the Best Jew in Kansas City. We were in the middle of a major presentation and there was no way to leave. And so we ran out, went, hi, we're going live. We're going to say hi. I mean, so even though we weren't full Denim and Pearls, we still showed up.
We try.
We still showed up.
We try. Yeah. Anyhow, I don't know what Barry just posted, but he posted a link and it says 8 things always keep things need to be private. I don't know what that is.
We can't click on it yet. We'll have to click on it later. But yeah. And if we share it, you can't click on it. So
yeah, it's in the chat.
It's thread. In the thread for Denim and Pearls.
And coming from Barry, I'm sure it's legit.
Oh,
great information.
It's informative, because that's
informative. There's a good word.
That's Barry. I still need to meet with you. I still need love a paper Barry. Napkin thingy of my future, because the future is bright. I've got to wear shades. Oh, can I shamelessly plug?
You always shamelessly plug. Why do you ask my permission?
Mark your calendars. If you're in Colorado Springs, October 17th.
Ah, yes.
Fly in if you have to. I'm launching my music album. And if Brian and my husband get their way of what that album cover is going to look like and how it's going to be packaged, it's going to be spectacular. So you really want to be here. October 17th, we'll be in Colorado Springs. And right now we're still negotiating where, but it'll be a really cozy, pretty place. Mm-hmm. And probably.
And what's really special about that day?
It's my 55th birthday.
I didn't say you had to tell how old you were.
I like being 55.
There's three people in the circle of making her albums that have the same birthday.
It's insane. How we all have October 17th as our birthday. And it's insane. So I think it's a magical day. I'm a big thing about numbers like that. And so October 17th, Colorado Springs. Yes, October 17th, Colorado Springs. It'll probably be downtown. We're looking at two places downtown. And yep. I would love to see you there. We're doing a limited release of my album. There are three cover songs on there. It's lovely. And I would not normally say it's lovely, but man, it's lovely. So,
okay, shameless plug for me.
Shameless plug for Brian. Go.
Yes. October 29th. So, what, Sunday before Halloween?
In Colorado Springs.
In Colorado Springs. I do a little thing called MiniCon. So, it's a mini convention of geeks and all those other fun things. But if you're into horror, Robert Mukes will be here from California, who was one of the individuals within House of a Thousand Corpses. And
he's in the new.
He's going to be in the, they start filming in September. I think today's September, but they start filming this month, the new independent film, The Crow.
Yes.
Ooh. So he will be here for autographs and all kinds of fun
he's
things.
He's super duper tall too.
Yeah. He's like, what, 6'8"?
Yeah. He's super duper tall.
He's a big dude.
I can't wait
and
to meet
awesome.
Him.
Awesome. I've actually talked to him on the phone and he's like completely an awesome guy. Oh, I mean, he look, cause he does all those crazy parts where he's like the insane guy or whatever, but his personality is just fantastic. So,
and then one more plug. It's not really for me and I don't think you can buy tickets because they're sold out, but our movie that my husband and I worked on with Armageddon Films, it's called Killer Witches from Outer Space. We filmed it all here in Colorado. Yep, movie number 6. It releases September 27th here in Colorado Springs. And then soon it'll probably be in Redbox and Amazon Prime and all that. So keep an eye out for that too.
Promises, promises.
Yes, I'm so excited. Promises, promises. We knew you'd always keep.
So with that.
We will see you next week, Friday, on Denim and Pearls. My name is Michelle.
And I'm Brian.
We are Denim and Pearls. We are business casual.
Pearls of Wisdom.
Swanson from the porch. We'll see you next week, Friday, at noon-ish. And until then, thanks for joining us.
Peace.